even for that family. We're going to turn our scripture reading this evening to Mark chapter 9. And we're coming in at verse number 14. And just remember, immediately after the service, we'll be having the Lord's Supper. And after the singing of the first stanza of our hymn, closing hymn, you may feel free to leave. The Lord's Supper, of course, is for those that are blood washed and those that are saved by the grace of Almighty God. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 14. And remember, we're reading here from God's word. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with him. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with him?" And one of the multitude answered and says, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whosoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pinneth away. And I spoke to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it also since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and says with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, "The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. We'll end our reading there at verse 32, trusting that the Lord will add his blessing to his own infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. We're going to take as our text this evening, verse number 24, and this is the words, of course, of the Father. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.'" We're going to consider those words, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Let us bow in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice, Lord, that the gospel is simple to believe. And our Father, we thank thee for those simple words that whosoever hath a son hath life. And our Father, we rejoice that many here have experienced even the grace of Almighty God moving upon their hearts. And our Father, we thank thee that though many times, Lord, thou hast called us to believe, yet, Lord, many times we had to pray the same prayer, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And so, our Father, we pray this evening that thou wouldst be our teacher, that as we sit at the feet of Jesus, Lord, we ask of thee the grace will be granted even unto thy people. We pray for every church this evening, especially, Lord, our own denomination. We would ask of thee, O Lord, that every church this evening would exercise even that faith in knowing that God is, and God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Be with us, and especially, Lord, as we come to the Lord's Supper, we ask of thee, O Lord, that we may truly see Jesus, that we may truly know the great cost of bringing about this great salvation, this God's salvation, even to a ruined world. And so, our Father, we look to thee this evening. We look to thee for help and encouragement, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gospel of Mark gives us the fullest account of the healing of this demonic boy. Mark alone gives us the part of that conversation, the conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and the boy's father. The poor man had brought his child to the disciples, and he found them unable to do anything for his son. They could not cast the demon out. They could not perform this miracle, even with the fact that they attempted this exorcism with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they couldn't do a thing. Now, it's true that all the disciples had the gifts of working miracles, but they couldn't exercise this power at any time. Or we can say that they couldn't exercise this power at their own option. There was only those certain occasions as God had seen fit. They couldn't use the gift of healing at any time at their discretion. They had to see the hand of the Lord in it. And if these disciples could have performed miracles at their own option, well, things would have been much different, wouldn't they? Paul, for example, the apostle, I'm sure that he would not have left his friend Trophimus sick when he desired to have him on his journeys. He certainly would have healed him. And this other man named Epaphroditus, whom Paul would have restored to health, whom was sick. So if he, it was up to him, it was up to the disciples to perform these miracles on their own options, well, I'm sure things would have been a little bit different. And so it seems that a certain kind and degree of faith was necessary to be exercised by these disciples when they would put forth their miraculous powers. And in this case, well, they could not cast out the devil out of this boy. And they tried, and they tried, they just couldn't do it. And so this power was not always at their command, but needed to be brought down from heaven. And in this case, the Lord told them there that this kind only goeth out by prayer and by fasting. He tells us there in verse number 28, he says there in verse number 28, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. And so in this account, this particular account, the disciples failed to cast out the demon. And the Lord even rebuked them. He rebuked them because he tells them there in verse 19, O faithless generation, how long could I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Now, the man who brought his sick boy to the disciples, who failed to help him, well, he eventually turns to the Lord. Well, he went to the disciples. The disciples couldn't do a thing. And so now he's turning, and he's turning to the Lord. And this man here was very anxious. This man here was very anxious to get help. He needed help at this time for his boy, and he prayed earnestly for it. He went to the right place. This time, he went to the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure he heard many stories. I'm sure he heard the story where the Lord Jesus Christ healed the lepers, and the dumb were able to speak again. The blind were able to see. So he heard these stories in his day, how the Lord Jesus Christ has done great things for those that came to him for help. And so he appealed to the great Lord himself to help for his son. The father says, but if thou canst do anything, this was his plea here, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 22, is there anything, in other words, you can do? Well, it seems by the statement that he felt that this case here is even beyond the power of Christ. He must have interpreted that. I must interpret it that way because his thoughts here, he's thinking, this is too difficult a case. I brought him to the disciples. They tried and tried. They couldn't do a thing to help him. But this is such a difficult case, even for the Messiah's line, for the Messiah's line of things. Because he uses here the word if. If there's anything you can do. Imagine telling the Lord, is there anything you can do? We all know that nothing is impossible with God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? But this man here, he was doubting in his heart. But as he was thinking, according to this line here, the Lord here dealt very, very graciously with him. And he drew him to faith because he begins with the question here in verse 21. He tells the father there, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Now, it's not that the Lord didn't know about the case. The Lord knew the case. But this forced him, the father, to tell the story of this long sorrow that he had and this long burden that he had in his own heart. So the Lord is asking him to, how long has this been? Well, the Lord knew all about it, but he was drawing him to faith. Go ahead, tell me, how long has this been? The man tells the story. He says, well, there's an evil spirit and he has struck my boy dumb. And yet the same spirit, it makes him foam at the mouth. It makes him gnash at his teeth. It throws him on the ground. He can't talk. His organs refuse to articulate speech. The spirit has control over him and it brings him into convulsions. It hurls him here and there. And one time it hurled him into the fire. Another time, he says, it hurled him into the water. He told the Lord his troubles. Well, we all have troubles, don't we? Isn't it good that we have a God to whom we could go to? Tell him the whole story. Tell him what is it that's bothering you in your heart. Tell him all your concerns of your own heart. We have a God. The Lord has said, come unto me in the day of trouble. Call upon me. And after hearing the story, the Lord said, if thou canst believe. Just finished this whole story. He finished their telling of his difficulties. And he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And so there you go. There's a condition here that we believe. When we pray unto God, we believe when we bring our troubles before the Lord. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man answered. He answered and he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So he was believing, but yet he wasn't believing. Well, this evening I want to consider the words of this man, and I want to draw some lessons which I trust will give us more insight into our own hearts. The first thing we see here is that faith and unbelief exist in the same heart. That's right. Faith and unbelief exist in the same heart. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So there's a belief in the heart, but there's also an unbelief. We're talking here of the human heart. The human heart, small as it is, can be inhabited by many different things at the same time. For example, at one moment, there could be fear in the heart. But the very next moment, maybe not even a moment, then there's hope. There's fear and there's hope. One moment there could be hate. At the moment there could be love. There could be bad thoughts. There could be good thoughts the same moment. So here we have faith and we have unbelief. And even in my heart and your hearts, there are times when we doubt the Lord. Hasn't the Lord given us all these promises in his word? For example, we believe the Bible. We believe that the Lord has saved us. We know where we're going. We have experienced salvation. We have seen him who is invisible. And we joy unspeakably. But yet we're not free from these thoughts of doubt. We're still not free from these doubts. Not so much as salvation, but circumstances. Circumstances change. And then there arises in our heart this unbelief. Just like it was with King David. Remember David? David there was anointed by was anointed by the prophet Samuel, and David was promised that he would be the next king in Israel. But yet he had a lot of troubles. He was chased into caves, and he was chased inside of the mountains by Saul. Saul was enraged with the jealousy that he had. Remember what David said in his own heart? David was a believer. David said that I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. That's what he thought. He had belief in his heart because he knew the Lord had anointed him. But yet he concluded there, because of his difficulties, that he would one day die by the hand of Saul. And so there you have faith and you have unbelief. There are times when we find ourselves in certain situations from within and from without, and a thought is suggested. Is the Lord with us or not? Does God know my situation? Does he know what I'm going through? Is there going to be any help here? Is the Lord not going to consider my difficulty here? Well, I'm sure we've all been there. I'm sure we've had those thoughts go through our mind. And so a strong faith may have its moments of doubt. Well, David was a very man after God's own heart, and yet he doubted. Doubted God. I'm going to die by the sword of Saul. And so faith and unbelief exist in our hearts indeed. Can't be always on the mountaintop. Well, when we are on the mountaintop and have faith to move mountains, well, we're still going to experience the valley. We're still going to have those times of doubt and temptation to perplex us whether the Lord is going to help us or not. Whether the Lord is going to intervene or not. We have many promises. One of the promises that we have in Scripture is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says here, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We all believe that. But then the trial comes. Then the difficulty comes. Along with what we still hold to this promise, if we the lights are turned off, for example, are we still going to take this promise, believe this promise? Will your anchor hold, the hymn writer said? Will your anchor really hold, or will it will the trial startle you? It's going to shake your faith? Well, I believe all of us have had some seasons of being cast down, perhaps even depression, because of, well, circumstances. Things just don't seem to be going right. And I'm sure at times there are doubt whether the Lord will help us or not. This is what this man in our text was battling within his own heart. Well, this is what the man in our text experienced. Should I believe? Should I believe God's word? Or shouldn't I believe God's word? Should I believe that, as the Lord has told us in his word, that if you call upon him in the day of trouble, that he will come to our aid? Should we believe or shouldn't we believe? You see, there's a war in our hearts. There's a war in our hearts when faith and unbelief, they come together and they meet head to head and the war is going on. And if you look at the man in our text, there's a great conflict going on in his heart because he says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He wanted to believe, but he just couldn't. That war in the heart, he knew that the life of his child was dependent on his very appeals to God or to the Lord. And so his nature struggles. I'm sure we've all been there. Should I believe? Shouldn't I believe? There's an eager desire on one hand and utter helplessness on the other hand. And both can't come to a settlement because they're both opposite, one from the other. There was a war going on in his heart and that great struggle within his own heart, whether to believe or not to believe. And so the man knew what he wanted. Certainly there wasn't any difficulty in knowing what he wanted. He certainly told the Lord what he wanted, and he wanted it very bad. He certainly wanted to have his son healed here. And my friend, if we have this desire, if we have this desire for the great gifts from the Lord Jesus Christ that he can bestow and help from the Lord, well, then we've taken the step in the right direction. If we have that desire, you want your prayers answered, well, there's going to have to be that desire. Do you really want your loved ones saved? Do you really want that? Do you really desire that? Well, that's what's taking place here in our text. Especially in salvation, the real reason why many do not put their trust in Christ, why is it? Because they just don't believe God's word. They doubt God's word. God said that you must be born again. Well, do we have to be born again? There's a doubt there. And they don't care to possess the blessings which the Lord Jesus Christ has offered to all. A natural man, of course, we understand that, well, he desires not God. He doesn't want the Lord. They don't want his goodness, his purity of life. They prefer other things of the world. And, well, the lottery booths are filled in casinos. Just like Martin Luther, he has a story which which is found in his Table Talks. That's the book that he's written. And he talks about a herd of swine to whom the keeper came there to feed one day. And he offered some very rich pearls to the swine. And the pigs said, no, we don't want pearls. We want grain. Well, that is what so many people do when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. They hear the gospel. They hear all the blessings of the gospel. No, they turn away and we want the world's pleasures. We don't want these pearls. And so they prefer grain over pearls. See, people need to realize their need of salvation. And they will not have that longing in their hearts for this promise of life. And so this man in our text, he had an intensity. And you have to give him credit for that. He had an intensity there of longing in his heart because he really wanted his son healed. He really wanted his boy to get rid of this demon that he possessed. And it was an intense desire. But yet, on the other hand, we have his utter helplessness. How often his poor father had looked at his boy in the midst of his convulsions while he's looking at him. And he's being tossed to and fro. And he's throwing himself in the fire. He's throwing himself in the water. And he's just despaired. There's nothing I can do here. There's nothing. I just have to sit here and watch this. And so there's nothing that he could do. He was impotent. Couldn't do a thing. Well, in some sense, aren't we also impotent? Well, can we forgive our own sins? Is there anybody here that can forgive their own sins? Well, can we cleanse our own natures? See, these are certain things. We're impotent. We can't do a thing. We cannot deal with our deepest need. Can't do it. Impotent. Jeremiah, he puts it there in Jeremiah 13 and verse number 23. He says there, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may he also do good that are accustomed to do evils. So there are certain needs that we are completely impotent, just like the man was as he watched the son there going in convulsions. If we understand really what is required to, in order to bring one soul into fellowship with God, well, we would recognize that we ourselves can do nothing. We're impotent. And we cannot help. We can help very little. We cannot help others. That is what this man discovered concerning his own son. Just simply could not help his son. And when he turned to the Lord, he still doubted. I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. He still doubted. This man with tears, he came to the Lord and says, Lord, I believe. And then he acknowledged something. And what did he acknowledge? He acknowledged his unbelief. I can't believe he will do it. Is he going to do it? He's not going to do it. Is he going to do it? He's not going to do it. And so this is what was going on, you see, in his heart. And it may be that we need to pray this same prayer of this man here this evening. Help thou mine unbelief. What's your struggle this evening? What are you struggling with? You're desiring something from the hand of the Lord and you're thinking, well, is he going to do it? Or he's not going to do it? Is that what we are going through, perhaps, a struggle in our own hearts? Keep in mind that this father here, he did not say, Lord, I believe, help thou my child. That's not what he said here. He didn't say, Lord, I believe, now cast the demon out of my boy. No, that's not what he said. But he recognized that his own unbelief that existed in his own heart was harder to overcome than the devil's. That's what he believed here. And that to heal him of unbelief was just as needful as to heal his own son. Because he's praying here, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. You see, Christ is willing. Christ is willing to help. He was certainly willing to help this father here. And when it comes to salvation, well, is there not power in the blood? Is there not power in the blood? But all the hindrances lies in our own heart, and that's unbelief. It is not because the blood has no power. It's not because the blood cannot cleanse you, but it's because the unbelief that lies in your heart. It is not because he will not receive you. It's because you will not come. It is not because Christ is not preached, but because you will not trust him. You will not confess him. Note what Paul said there to the Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, concerning salvation and faith. He says in Romans 10 and verse number 9, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so concerning salvation, is this what you believe? Can you say, Lord, I believe? Do you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Do you believe he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin? Do you believe he lived that sinless life, perfect life, obedient to God? Do you believe he was God and man? Do you believe he was crucified, as Scripture teaches? Do you believe that he was put to death and on the third day he rose from the dead? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is seated on the right hand of majesty? Well, do you believe that one day Jesus Christ is coming? Well, these are things that we cannot say, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. These are things that we must believe for salvation. We need to believe the gospel. We need to believe what's written here in Scripture. And it's a gospel really worth believing, living for. And many have died for this very gospel. And my friend, if you believe it, if you believe it and ask the Lord as you think of him to help your unbelief, well, the Scripture says that the Lord will, because that is our second point this evening. And our second point here is that the man's faith was real indeed. This man's faith was real. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. This man believed in Christ. This man believed in the power of Christ to save, even though his boy was at that very moment passing through pain and misery. He still believed as he saw his boy there going through convulsions, and so he kneeled down with the deepest humility. And in the other account, in Matthew's account, it reads in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 14, I believe. And it says that he came and kneeling down to him said, Lord, have mercy on my son. What a great example is this for us. We need to labor to imitate this man. We're to pray to be earnest. Pray to be earnest and not question the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether he will or not, or limit his powers. Remember, all power is given unto him. How can we doubt the Lord? Like thousands of other supplicants, this man obtained his request. The Lord ordered the young man to be brought unto him. And as he was being assaulted even more greater, well, more greater fury by Satan, the Lord said to him there in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 25. Mark chapter 9, verse number 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. So there you have the outcome here. You have the outcome of this great event concerning this boy and his father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it could be true this evening that you find yourself in some great difficulty or trouble. You're vexed and you're tormented with anguish. It's taken hold of your heart, and your heart is a battlefield. Great battle going on in your heart. What has happened here? How am I going to go through this? And yet, really, the simple thing to do is to accept the word of the Lord, isn't it? The Lord says, I never leave thee nor forsake thee. So how could we doubt God whether he's going to be with us or not, even in difficult times? We can't judge God by our circumstances. We cannot say, well, the Lord loves me because of this. Things are going well and so forth. Things are not going well. Therefore, we think sometimes the Lord has changed. The Lord doesn't change. We have to look to his word. And the best thing for us to do is just to accept the word of God. There are a promise for every need. And if you do trust and accept the word of the Lord, you're going to glorify God, even in your difficulties. Going to glorify God. And happy is that man that trusts in the Lord, not only when things are going well, but when the lights are put out. Blessed be that man is able to trust in the Lord at that time, even when all the sea billows roll. We have many encouraging promises in Scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with the whole heart, not a half a heart, not saying, well, should I believe or not believe? Believe, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. Oh, our own understanding sometimes can betray us. We think sometimes that this is the way things are going, and we're trying to figure things out for our own, while all along the Lord has told us, don't trust in your own understanding. Don't try to figure things out. But trust in me, he's saying. And that's what we need to do. We'll bring glory to the Lord. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is fit to be believed. He's fit to be believed at all times. Remember, he's divine, and he's always omnipotent to help, always overflowing with loving kindness. He's a great God. The Bible says he even can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Yes, whatever you're going through, the Lord can be touched by those very feelings. Remember Job. Job, he said there in Job 13, verse 15, he says, though he slay me. Now think about that. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That was his, what we call his determined resolution. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust in him. Job saying such words. I mean, this man here was in great trouble, tremendous trouble, because the adversary has come in, his children gone, swept away, his livestock was all gone, his wealth was all gone, his health was taken away, there was no sympathy from his wife, his three friends, which were left to prove the very miserable comforters, always accusing him of certain sins, but still with all that, with all that calamity that he went through, his case was not hopeless. This wasn't a hopeless case. You would think it's a hopeless case, wouldn't you? It was not a hopeless case because he still could turn to the Lord. He could still turn to the Lord and he could still trust. There was one other thing left for him, and that is to trust in the Lord. And so his trust in God was built upon his acquaintance with God and his word. He knew the Lord and he knew his word. And that really is what faith is all about. It's a reliance of the heart upon God and upon his word. It's taking God's word and saying, this is what I believe. This is what I believe. You have a promise in God's word and you say, this is what I believe. God is not going to forsake me. This is what I believe because the scriptures say and have these promises. And that is what we need. That is the faith that we need. A simple, childlike faith. Yes, we feel our weaknesses, but we put our confidence in the Lord, just like as a child puts his confidence there in his parents. Remember the disciples, they did not doubt Christ's power when everything was still. Remember on the lake there, they were in the boat. Oh, they trusted in Christ. Things are going well, sailing through. But then the storm comes. Well, that's a different story. We're going to trust him or we're not. And we all know the story because when the storm came, they cried out, Master, save us, we perish. So they doubted, you see, even when Christ was in the ship. You see, to trust and believe God when all is quiet is not enough. The Lord wants us to trust him even in times of desperation. Will you venture your trust in him today? Your concerns, your prospects, your plans, your failures, the sins? Well, you will have to leave it all with him and say, I will trust him and I will not be afraid. I don't usually do this, but I did find a poem which is very fit here. I'm going to end with this poem. And it says here, does the path seem rough and steep? He says, leave it to God. Do you sow but fail to reap? Leave it to God. Is your life an uphill fight? Leave it to God. Do you struggle for the right? Leave it to God. Are you disappointed and dreams shattered? Leave it to God. If in doubt, just what to do? Leave it to God. He will make it plain to you. Serve him faithfully today. He will guide you all the way. Simply trust him. Watch and pray. And I'm going to end with scripture. One final verse here, taken portion of scripture found in John 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And I close with that portion of scripture. And I trust that the Lord will encourage us, especially to trust in him. Always telling us to put our trust in him, even when the lights are out. May God bless his word to our hearts.